truly because of the Easter power of God that each of us can sing and know that it is well with our soul. I invite you now to hear the words of Scripture that come to us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because the words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself just what had happened. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Let us pray. Spirit of Easter, be upon your word. Be upon this time of preaching and be upon this table. Enter every heart and renew us with the Easter story. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Easter is an event that is shared as a message. Easter is an event that is shared as a message. The women arose early when it was still dark, and they began to gather their items together, herbs and spices, perfumes and oils. But don't miss what else they gathered. They had to gather their courage, their undying love for their teacher. They had to gather their inner strength to face again what this whole week had led up to. They had to take with them not only things to prepare the body of Christ, but they had to take preparations within to be able to face that sealed tomb and the fate of Jesus. You see, according to the Gospel of Luke, the women knew exactly where to go because they had followed Joseph of Arimathea there when they had lowered the body of Christ, wrapped it in linens, and carried it to that empty tomb in which no one had ever laid before. The women were there, stunned, silent, somber, dealing with the overwhelming, sobering grief of watching Jesus lay in the tomb, Jesus' body lay in the tomb, and that large stone sealed, sealing the lifeless body of our Lord in the earth. So on this particular morning, when they arose early, they gathered their items and they gathered their innermost self and they went to that garden. They were utterly astonished to see a stone rolled away. So astonished that they just barged on in. They walked into an empty tomb. Their eyes searched the grayscale cavernous walls. They looked on the floor. They looked on the ceiling. They could not find the lifeless body of Jesus. And then two glowing angels appeared and the women hit the deck. They bowed their faces and turned away. And the angel said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" The angels would go on to bear witness and say, Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. You see, the women never actually saw the resurrection event, but they did see the empty tomb. They saw that the body that was once there was no longer there. They saw the stone rolled away, and they were given a heavenly message by two witnesses that they were then to pass on. They would bear witness to the good news that had now been unearthed. Our Lord and Savior had been risen from the dead.
Really good messages, even really, really good messages, at times have difficulty making their way through to be recognized and heard and seen and believed. Years ago at the Battle of Waterloo in 1815, General Wellington led the Allies against Napoleon, and he won. But when news was cast back across the English Channel to all the families in Britain waiting to hear, it got out that Wellington defeated. And about that time, that heavy fog began to make its way through the English Channel, and that was the message that people heard. The fog obscured the victory. And so the message began to spread all throughout Great Britain, and there was great anguish in the land. For Wellington had been defeated, Napoleon had won. Until finally the fog lifted, and the truth of the message could get through. Wellington defeated Napoleon. Sometimes it's when we receive good news that's so hard to hear. It's like the women who are making their way to the tomb that day in the darkness and the dampness of that morning. How unready they were to receive the message of the two witnesses that he was not there, that he was in fact risen, that God had been victorious in Christ. And the two women ran to go and tell the 11 disciples, and they also were not ready to hear this good news. The fog of their confusion and doubt, nothing over the last several days had gone the way they had planned. And so they did not believe. It seemed like them nonsense, just an idle tale. A little while later on, Cleopas and a companion were walking along, making their way to Emmaus, and they were pondering about all the things that had happened when this stranger joined them, walking along beside them. And it seemed so odd, the stranger, out of all the people in Jerusalem, didn't seem to know everything that had happened. And yet he began to open up the scriptures to them, began to help them understand how all of these things needed to happen. It says that their hearts burn within them, and yet they still did not recognize the risen, living Lord. How oftentimes it is that when our hearts have a fog that comes over them, and sometimes we have such difficulty hearing and receiving messages of good news. And maybe it's the fog of previous hurt that comes into our life. Or maybe it's a fog over our mind of doubt and confusion and despair. Sometimes it's a fog that covers our spirit that says, I've been hurt once before, and I'm not going to be hurt again. And we put it at arm's length because we know that if we do not hear, if we do not receive, then we need not change, and nothing need change us.
Let's just be honest. All of us have had some foggy days or foggy moments, even when it comes to our faith. There are days that we've chosen to be further apart from God than God would have ever wanted for us. There have been times when we've forgotten how close and how near and how active God is in our everyday life. We have all been impacted by fog. But some of us have come to learn and are discovering through church and through God's holy word and through prayer that part of Easter is about lifting the fog, and hearing again the clear message of God. The fog can be lifted and Easter can become clear to hear and to receive and to believe. And if we go back and we think about how God has been at work in his world, some of God's most powerful work has come in his spoken word and in his message. Let's go back to the beginning of it all when there was nothing but chaos. God said in the moment of creation, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the fog of darkness lifted and light shone. And then think about as we continue through creation, there was this moment when God said, "Let there be humanity, and let humanity have the very image of God within each of us, so that all could come back into relationship with the one true God, and all could be bearers or witnesses of the good messages and the good news of our God." You see, God has been working throughout time with his people to try to unearth the fog that we put over the image of God within us. And if we continue, we think about the prophet Moses, all the way to the prophet John the Baptist, and all the prophets in between. Again, God spoke his word through the prophets. And the prophets would speak a message. And time again, the message would go out, "Repent! Turn around and come back to God. Leave your old life and find the new life that really is life." And when it was time for Jesus to be born, was it not heavenly messengers that came? Gabriel showed up this time and again spoke God's word. And out of that word, the Spirit enacted the very thing that God had promised. That message that Jesus the Christ, God's only Son, would be born on earth, that he would walk and live in our midst, that he would teach and preach and heal and feel and live with us. And Jesus, when he decided it was time to inaugurate his ministry, he went into the temple and he pulled out the word, this time from the prophet Isaiah, and he placed it upon himself. He said, "This is the anointing. It's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing is here." And he talked about what the reign of the kingdom would be like. The oppressed would be free. The prisoner would be let go. The blind would see. This was a new way of life. Sins would be forgiven. Death would be destroyed. Love would win. Love in Jesus the Christ would win. So we should not be surprised as followers of God and readers of his word that when it came to Easter morning, he sent a heavenly message. He sent words through two angel witnesses to say, "Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed." The good news is that the cross is forever redefined. That we can find in it beauty and hope and love and mercy and grace, because it was not the final word, but the empty tomb would shout of God's love and mercy. Many of you know that we have a son. His name is Luke. He is 9 years old. And just yesterday, we were talking, bantering back and forth about Easter, getting prepared for today. And we were talking about the empty tomb. And I said, "You know, I still have a hard time with the fact that there's people who don't believe that Jesus was raised again. It hurts my heart to know that there's people who don't believe the tomb was empty." And I said, "Luke, what would you have done if you were there the first Easter?" And right away he said, "I would have gone in the empty tomb, I would have prayed, and I would have taken pictures." Brothers and sisters, every pastor in the world wishes someone had been there to take pictures. If they had taken pictures, what do you think would be up on these screens today? Empty tomb, lightning bright angels, the risen Lord pierced. the risen Lord. Scripture says, blessed are those who have not seen, yet believe. We might translate that today to blessed are those who do not have an empty tomb selfie, yet give their whole heart and whole life to following their Lord Jesus the Christ. You see, it is the call on each of us who hear the good news of Easter to then go and bear witness to that same good news.
And the good news comes, especially as the fog begins to clear, and that's what we see in the Gospel of Luke. As the story unfolds, what we find is person after person, the fog begins to raise up and faith and hope begins to shine in. We find the women who are there, and they're uncertain about what is happening with these two figures speaking to them, but the figures say to them, remember. Remember this Jesus. And they recall all the times that he walked along the dusty roads of Galilee, all the times that his words brought healing and hope and forgiveness, all the times that his hands brought healing to those who were sick. And the angel said to them, remember what he said to you back in Galilee. And they remembered how he had told them even then that he would go to Jerusalem, that sinners would crucify him, and yet on the third day he would be raised. And they knew, and they believed, because they remembered. And they ran and they told the 11 other disciples, and in the beginning it seemed like nonsense to them. Nothing was going the way it should. There was feeling of doubt and confusion. And yet Peter jumped up and he ran. And he ran to the tomb himself. He wanted to see for himself what was happening. And he left there wondering just what all of this meant, until he himself encountered the risen, living Christ. The risen Christ who said to him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus asked him that two more times for a total of three, to reverse all three of the denials of Peter that night that Jesus was captured and jailed. Peter himself had gone through an entire journey of his heart being clouded with fog, and yet coming to an encounter of the risen living Christ. And the doubt moved away and made home for faith and trust. I suspect no one here has ever doubted. No one here has ever had any questions, any confusion whatsoever. We could never find ourselves along the path of Peter. But just if we might, that we too hear the words today, Peter, you are forgiven. We hear the words, each one of us, God calling our name and saying, you are loved. Cleopas and his companion, they were walking along, making their way to Emmaus. And this stranger appeared right next to them. It was such an odd experience. And yet the risen living Christ was there with them, just as the risen living Christ is with us here today through the power of the Holy Spirit stirring in our hearts and in our lives. And as they made their way to Emmaus, they finally made it home. And it was there that they invited the stranger in to join them for dinner. And it is said that as the bread was broken and given, and as the cup was shared and blessed, that their eyes were opened, and suddenly they could see, they could recognize, they could believe the risen Lord. And so it is with us this day, that we are called into his presence. His Spirit meets us here today with a love that cannot be contained by a tomb, and a forgiveness that still calls out to each one of us, and a grace that beckons us into a new relationship with a God who loves you more than you can imagine. Because the light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Let us pray. Holy God, pour your Spirit upon this bread and this juice, We remember at the Last Supper, you gave us this meal to help us when we get foggy in our journey, and remind us that you gave your life in love and sacrifice so that we might be your people, joint heirs of the kingdom, forgiven and loved, and beginning eternal life now. Pour out your Spirit on the bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Pour out your Spirit on every heart here. Open it and receive it and do a new work in it. And God, give us the courage again this day to say yes to your love and yes to following you. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.